our buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Matt Neely, 2 days in a row. I'm so fortunate. I get Matt twice now in 2 days. Matt, great to see you, and always a pleasure to have you on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. Today is Thursday, August the 23rd. I'm a day ahead of myself. August 22nd.
There we go.
We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, part of the growing presence of our friends at Bustos Media, who own KVOI and four other radio stations, all under one roof. The latest acquisition has been The Drive, 101.7, that station doing very well, and I know I listen to it. I like the music there. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, I'm looking at some of the radar, and here we go. We've got a couple of pretty strong thunderstorms popping up in the Benson area.
Definitely one near the Highway 83 cutoff, so sort of near the Cochise County line, one at Mescal. Looks like Mescal along I-10.
If you're on I-10 headed toward Benson, and certainly within the reach of this radio station, you will be coming in into some weather.
Maybe Patagonia and Elgin, I think.
Yeah, Patagonia, like storms popping up.
Yeah.
And there's some red in there, so that means this, it can be lightning and can be pretty violent. So take it easy. The Buckmaster Show, let's see, we will start our 15th year with the radio program coming up in January. So we're beyond now 4.5 years with this program. And we started off with an idea that, just to kind of bring folks an informative program. It's not host opinion oriented. It's more about what the guests have to say, and folks have been very supportive, and I'm glad they have been. So, thanks to all of our listeners, and of course our great sponsors. We're going to kick things off with our program today. This is his second visit in 2 weeks. Actually, he was on last Thursday, and we were talking with historian Ken Scoville, and Paul Cunningham Ward, too, Democrat, was part of that discussion where we were talking about Tucson's birthday, which was this week, and then now the planning to start for the 250th birthday celebration, which is next year. And, of course, Tucson's a lot older than that. People have lived at the base of A Mountain and along the Santa Cruz, Paul Cunningham, for 3,000-4,000 years.
That's what they tell me. I mean, I think the original Chuksun pronunciation, and I think that goes back before Tan Ottom, and I think there's like multiple different tribal presence here that goes back, first, like second, third century BC. I don't know all the details of it, but I think it's an interesting, it's just amazing history. I remember my friend Richard Fimbres and I would talk, Richard Elias and I would talk about that from time to time.
I miss Richard.
Everybody does.
I mean, he's been gone 4 years. Wow.
So you just have those. We have a really special place here. I mean, it's so interesting what's happening in Tucson with the rain, with the wet season we've had, and with all the different things. Every single time I think I've got Tucson figured out, it shows me something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you were here, first of all, it's good to see you again. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. When you were here, we were talking briefly about, you had just kind of heard about this compromise, and you were briefly on it, the compromise that's being worked out as far as the Regional Transportation Next program. On Monday, we had the general with us, and Ted Maxwell, who is the representative for the Arizona Department of Transportation, and has been really working hard, Paul Cunningham, to come up with a deal that would satisfy the mayor and people like you on the council so this thing can move forward.
And as I said last week, I mean, I really wanted to give kudos to Ted and Carolyn for all the work they've put into this. At the end,
Carolyn Campbell?
Yes.
Okay.
At the end of the day, the package that's being put forth still has some stuff that anybody can point out, and there's always going to be things. And we learned this a few years ago with the bond pack, when the Pima County bond package failed, and that was that poison pills are one of those things where we have to put those aside and figure out and kind of stand in other folks' shoes and figure out, hey, this is what this community needs right now. This is what this community needs right now. I came on this show till I was blue in the face and said, Tucson's an older city. Tucson doesn't necessarily need to expand a bunch of roads or build new roads. It needs to enhance the roads it has. And so this arterial rehabilitation piece became this a political football, if you will, about these negotiations. And it seems that we have a compromise set up that will satisfy some of those concerns. I don't think it's perfect. I'm never going to run around and say, oh, everything's the perfect deal or whatever. But I think overall for the community in this situation, what we have on the table, I'm absolutely optimistic it's going to be, I'll be able to say this is a great deal for Tucson at some point. But for now, the pluses absolutely outweigh the minuses. And that wasn't the case a year ago. So I think there's tremendous progress being made. And I think it's a testament to the two chairs that they, you know, listened and talked to different. I mean, they're literally collaborating with four different mayors and the Board of Supervisors and the entire city council when you really think about it.
Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, and the city of Tucson.
Yep. Four mayors.
Yeah.
And then you've got
the
two nations. Then you've got Pima County. But then remember, specifically in the city of Tucson and with the county, the representatives on those boards have some over 100,000, 125,000 constituents in their wards, which is a lot bigger than the 9,000 or 10,000 you have in some of the other towns. So there's a lot of egos there. There's a lot of political maneuvering there, but it's not just political. It's just people who are public servants trying to do the best thing for their constituents and saying, hey, look, this needs to be a good deal for the people who elected me. And that's how you have to walk into this. And that's what I did. And we weren't there for a while, but we're definitely right there now. And I'm very happy with the progress. I think we're going to have a good package for the voters. I think it's going to make sense for the voters. And that's all I got to say for now. I think we've got a few more I's to dot and T's to cross, but ultimately I think we're going to have a good deal.
Yeah, and one more note on that, and the general makes a good point that this doesn't have to be perfect at this stage. This is the blueprint Paul Cunningham is now taken out for public consideration. There could be two or three months of public input from a lot of different meetings. So this is certainly something that can at least be a working blueprint.
Yes, I think it's a jumping off point because you have the jurisdictions, the electeds in the jurisdictions bought in. So once you have that, you can go to the public and go, okay, this is what we're working off of. What did we miss? And when the public gets to say, hey, look, you missed this. Hey, that's a good one. And then there's always someone who's going to show up and say, well, you know what we ought to do, and try to short circuit the whole thing. And that may or may not happen. But in this case, I think that the package we have is responsible, and I think that ultimately we're going to come up with a deal that's going to meet the needs of our community.
Are neighborhood streets still being addressed in the city of Tucson?
100%.
And how's that going?
It's going really well.
Was that a 10-year program?
Yeah, it's still going. We've got some time. We've got another 6 years on it. We just finished. So in Ward 2, we just finished Terra del Sol. I think we're finishing up Terra del Sol in about 2 weeks. And then we're going to go, I think we're working on Vista del Rio right now. And then next is Rolling Hills. Rolling Hills was a long time coming. Rolling Hills is mostly in Ward 2, but partly in Ward 4. And so we're going to get Rolling Hills going. And we've got there's one right after that I'm looking forward to doing. That's just north of Speedway. North of Speedway, right off of Pima and Pantano, but west of Pantano. I think that area by Udall Park has to be done. And so I think that'll be one of the ones we do after this. So we're really trying to just close each gap. I think we'll also go back to Green Hills at some point and Kingston Knolls, and those two neighborhoods combined in El Gecko was where we did a chip and seal about 7-8 years ago, and we'll be slated to resurface. Oh, and then Palo Verde Park. Somewhere in there is Palo Verde Park. I'm so sorry. I think Palo Verde Park is after Rolling Hills, and then we go to the Green Hills. So I think, and that's by then, it's like 80% of the roads in Ward 2 will have been done, of the residentials, and some of the ones that haven't been done will have not been done because they're actually in above average or average performing condition, so they haven't been slated yet. So we're working that as diligently as we can.
A listener sent me a message a moment ago. What's the biggest, for me to ask you, what would be the biggest selling point then for Tucson to vote for the RTA? Would that be to fix up the arterial streets?
Yeah, so yeah. The arterial rehabilitation was my hard ground.
Okay.
And so in this specific package that's set up now, there's some $210 million set aside right away for arterial rehabilitation. So some of the roads we built in the first RTA,
yeah,
along with some of the roads that we didn't build in the first RTA, would get matched up so that you'd get that. So we did a great project out east on East Speedway and a great project out east on East Broadway. So what we'd be able to do is enhance the, maintain those projects, and then also enhance that on the east side of those projects so that the connection is more precise. Mm-hmm. And so that's that rehabilitation we're talking about. So I think that's one of them. I think another piece to it is some of the transit, pedestrian and safety things that were kind of incomplete as far as sidewalks. I think the last piece is there are three different projects in Ward 2, including Wrightstown, and finishing up the East Houghton the North Houghton project, which was on RTA 1. It's the first project to go, which I think is important. So I think there's, again, and finally, I think this is the big one. Right now, we're doing the division of money based on population. So 55% of that money, about give or take, will go to the city. And the first time that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those are the selling points for the residents of Tucson. In my opinion, is that this does work for us. Like I said, I had my doubts in the past, but the listener makes a really good question, and that's my answer. Is that
okay.
It's not just the single thing. There's three or four things that are good for Tucson here. If it was just one, it wouldn't be that great.
Yeah. Okay. More with Paul Cunningham. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview will be with another council person. He's the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. Our Friday Focus interview will be with Kevin Dahl. Caitlin Schmidt from the Tucson Agenda will be my guest media co-host back after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Quit
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and Zocalo Village.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition, and that storm that has been moving, pretty violent-looking storm, right? It's just like right on top of I-10 east of Tucson over toward Benson. I'm seeing in the radar a lot, well, not a lot of red anymore. It's kind of dying down a little bit maybe, but if you're headed east on I-10 toward Benson, please use caution. Ward 2 Democrat, longtime Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with me in studio. The studio, the naming rights, and we're glad that they are presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. Paul, I want to ask you about, because I had an inquiry from a listener. I did not know about La Mariposa on the far east side, but this is apparently a big deal. 175 units are proposed there. What can you tell our listeners about this?
So the developer has two different parcels. One of the parcels, they have some development rights already where they can build apartments or they can build residential, and they can build, 150, 160 units. I don't know the exact numbers. They want to spread it out into another parcel, which is partially in the flood zone, and that parcel is about 100 feet. They cut it off 100 feet from the bank. And the neighbors are super sensitive to it, and rightly so, because what's happening in that area where the water flow comes in is that they're getting flooded in the wet season, and we've had bigger and heavier rains from time to time, and people are just getting flooded.
So you don't want to build a bunch of units and then
and
have
cause
flooded
flooding.
Out.
Yeah, yeah. Not a chance. No, yeah. No chance in heck. So that's the big challenge. So one of the things that the developer really was required to do was to seek something called a certified letter of map revision from FEMA. And the neighbors basically said, we are never going to approve this unless you go get a certified letter of map revision. So the developer put in there, and a lot of people were skeptical they'd get it, but apparently it got approved, and now it's under appeal. Mm-hmm. So we have to wait for that process to clear. But I've already said to everyone involved, my hard ground is I don't want anybody to get flooded at all. Mm-hmm. And I remember the 83 floods. Mm-hmm. And I have neighbors who've sent me videos of their houses getting flooded. Mm-hmm. So my hard ground is not only do I want there to say this won't affect flooding, I want it to actually be a situation where it would reduce the chances of flooding and mitigate the severity of flooding. Mm-hmm. And if we can get there, then we can talk. Mm-hmm. But if we can't get there, then it's going to be really challenging. I think, though, that there is some common ground in there to be had at some point, but we'll see. Let's see how this CLOMR is the certified letter of map revision. Well, let's see how this CLOMR review goes and see how, you know, where we are. But I think we've got a ways to go to get into a place. I know that the rancheros, both people who live in the city and live out of the city, but they're Tankaverde Valley. They're
engaged.
Well, they're very engaged, but I'm more of looking something. They refer to themselves as rancheros. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so the rancheros are not a big fan of this plan. And mm-hmm. rightly so. I mean, they are out there in an area that historically was ranching and stuff like that.
Sure.
So they're pushing back quite a bit. Mm-hmm. That's okay. So what my job is to make sure that, A, is there an opportunity here to reduce and mitigate flooding? And B, is there an opportunity here to get something good for the city or not? And if there isn't, there isn't. And if there is, there is. But let's go through the steps in the process mm-hmm. to make sure that everything is being done as proper as can. So I've tried to be as hands-on and as even-handed as possible in this process. It's definitely not an easy one. It's one of the more challenging proposals. And I kind of wish we hadn't. I don't know if it was a good idea to I think it's too early to say that, but I don't know if it was a good idea to go down the route of talking about anything except flooding first. And that mm-hmm. was probably where this kind of got.
Where's zoning come in a case like that?
Well, part of their zoning is proper mm-hmm. and part of their zoning isn't. And so the discussion is that you just have them build everything over there or not. And mm-hmm. I think there's actual value to doing the single story casitas. I think there's possible value to that, but
single story casitas are like a small patio home
or something like that. So I think there's mm-hmm. value to doing that instead of going vertical and doing apartments. But again, there's a whole discussion to be had. I think it's way too early to tip the scales either way. That's not proper. So I'm just going to keep taking mm-hmm. in information. But as I said, my hard ground is I do not want anyone to get flooded.
Mm-hmm. State regulators have recommended TEP's preferred route for a planned high voltage transmission line through Midtown that would put lines and very tall power poles through or near some historic Tucson neighborhoods. What's the latest on that?
Well, as you know, we got a lot of pushback about the undergrounding and how Tucson is one of the cities that doesn't get undergrounding. We set up a study to talk to folks about what their pathway to a possible municipal utility would look like. Steve Auslander just eviscerated us in the paper for even talking about it. And the bottom line is that he was wrong. We can look at it. There's all kinds of different ways. If you're trying to go buy the TEP infrastructure as it is, that costs too much, and that's a little bit unrealistic. But home growing a competing utility over a 30 or 40 or 50-year period is absolutely a discussion we can have. So those are some of the things that are part of this. The other part of this is that on these lines, you cannot bury a certain type of transmission line. You can bury the smaller ones, but the other ones you can't.
These are the big, yeah.
Yeah, so this is where the challenge comes in. And ultimately, what my thought is that we probably try to come to some compromise where we can go rooftop to rooftop and route to route so that they're not hanging over the city. I'm not a big fan of overhead lines at all. I go to other towns and cities and places that don't have overhead lines, and I think the ambiance is just, you don't notice them until you notice them is mm-hmm. kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I just wish they weren't there. But that being said, as our partner and as our our community partner that we have to work with. TEP is who we got. Mm-hmm. And so I can't say, what I can say is that despite everybody being very disappointed in TEP about the overhead lines, I can say that they've tried their best to be a partner in this and be engaged in this, but they still have, they answer to their ownership group, they answer to other people. They're only allowed to make a certain percentage in profit, and so that's what they're going to do. I'm not going to hold their feet to the fire and say what a bunch of jerks they are. I'm going to say they're doing their job. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I agree with it, but they're doing their job.
Only a few seconds left. We had Amber, not Amber. We had Lara Hamwe on the program, City Parks and Rec Director yesterday. That federal money infusion to Jacobs Park is going to be really good.
Well, Laura's a dynamo, and she's rebuilt that staff, and we've got just a great culture going on at Parks. I think in the next year, year and a half, you're going to notice that we're going to be one of the top parks departments in the country. We've got so many irons in the fire, like the best is yet to come, and you're just waiting for it all to come together. So I'm really excited about how
really
that's going
to work. Really hands-on, really takes the job pretty darn seriously.
She's outstanding. Yeah. She's by far one of the most responsive parks directors I've ever had. I think there's a lady who worked for the city for a long time named Joni. I don't know if Joni's listening, but she took over for Parks for about a year, and she did a bang-up job too. And those are my two favorites, Laura and Joni, who've just done an outstanding job with Parks.
All right, out of time. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. Will there be a Roadrunner season this year?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. And while we're waiting for our border reporter, Keith Rosenblum, who is up to the plate at 12:30, Actually, we may have him. But anyway, I want to talk about our Green Things and Zocalo Village, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site, everything you need for your garden. And a lot of people have had damage to their gardens from some pretty violent storms this monsoon season. So great time to go over and do some replacement work over at Green Things. They not only will point you in the right direction, they will actually walk you to the proper area and get you all set up at Green Things. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business is zocalovillage.com. All that wonderful pottery and beautiful items from Mexico and really all over the world. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And while we're waiting for Keith Rosenblum, our border reporter, I asked Paul Cunningham to stay over for a few minutes, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. We had some really violent incidents, haven't we?
I'm super concerned.
Crime.
Yeah, I'm super concerned. And I don't blame anybody for being super concerned, because the bottom line is that when the hits keep coming and you get three, four, or five incidents strung together like that, you're just feeling less safe. And I wouldn't blame anybody for that. Now, what I will say is that if we stretch out to the statistics and we look at this, it's a little less controversial. I will say that, you know, we've tripled the number of community service officers we've had. We've created 20 different positions for civilian investigators. We've ended the last 2 years, I want to say possibly 3 years in a row, where we actually had more commissioned officers than the year before, which wasn't the trend for like 4 years. So we passed the largest raise for police officers in the city in history. So we've done a bunch of things to try to address some of the issues overall. But yes, when you have two or three big incidents like that, it's definitely, I don't blame anybody for being concerned. We had quite a few calls in the office, and we just said, hey, look, we're doing the best we can. We're going to keep going. And maybe we do need to ultimately put some more resources in, and maybe we do need to rethink how we're doing some things. And that's okay to have those discussions. But right now, yeah, after four or five incidents like that, it's definitely something that raises an eyebrow and you've got to consider.
How many shots were fired?
Depends on which incident.
The one on Speedway.
Speedway and Swan, I don't know. There were some 180 shells. I think there was one person injured or killed in that one. I think there was another. I think there was another piece to that.
Okay.
So I can't remember. One of them, there was a death. One of them, there were two deaths. It was not good. It was just not a good situation. What we do know is that neither of those incidents were interrelated.
Okay. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. We're going to let you go, because we are going to go now on the live line to Keith Rosenblum. Keith is our border reporter, longtime border observer, reporter, worked for the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic. He's the former congressional aide to the late United States Representative Jim Colby, who represented Southern Arizona for 22 years. Keith is a former fellow at the University of California, San Diego Center for U.S.-Mexican Studies. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing well, and I'm in Nogales, Sonora, just so that I can be the astute observer that you want.
Very much appreciated. And I want to ask you, how's the Mexican media covering the national convention, the Democratic National Convention? Is there a lot of interest, do you think, in this race?
There's a fascination, first of all, with the two kind of concurrent things. Number one, the Mexicans are very keen on following who of their race is involved in U.S. politics. And so on either side, you're always going to see an emphasis on which Latino did this or did that. And there's been at both conventions, actually, there's been people that suddenly go into Spanish, you know, to speak to their constituents. And so there's an intrigue with how these people have made it. There's always a certain fraternity not necessarily a devotion to the cause or to the party, but simply look at what that Nicaraguan person has accomplished, or look at what that Cuban, or look at what that Mexican-American. And then mm-hmm. within Mexican-Americans, you have the ones that are the – it's funny because there's a term for it, Bill. I'm trying to remember what there is. There's those who arrive who have been here for a day or two, and they call them – those are the ones that have the cans of beans in their suitcases. Yeah. And then there's the ones that have been up in the U.S. for a long time and have become there's a word for them as well, where they become kind of acclimated, like gringo eyes would be the terminology. So number one, there's an interest in who is from the world of Latin America, and in particular Mexico, is accomplishing something in high political level. And then there's also a fascination, which is really appropriate, with whether this country is once again going to go to a strongman. And they, Latin America knows this topic quite well.
Yeah.
They see it right now with Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. They see it at home with President Lopez Obrador, who has done a remarkable power grab of his own and is doing what he can to continue these. They're called reforms, but that's really a euphemism. They're just power grabs. And so, but they know them as reforms because that's politically expeditious term. So the coverage is constant because everybody has a relative up here. If you have 125 million Mexicans, you have half of those who have an immediate relative, someone from the nuclear family or, through a political family. And if you go a little bit farther, 100 million or more who have relatives up here. And don't forget, you got people sending money back all the time. So if we're going to round up however many, 10 million foreigners who are here illegally and deport them, that is an issue of vital significance to the Mexicans. So I would say the coverage is as much as it is for us. In other words, it's a bombardment on Mexican language TV.
While we wait to see whether the United States will elect the first woman president, Mexico's already done it. And in fact, the inauguration for President-elect Sheinbaum is coming up on October 1st, and another first for women in Mexico. It was announced just this week, Mexico's first woman minister, a cabinet position that President-elect Sheinbaum wanted that, and it's going to happen.
The Mexicans, after becoming the concept of machismo is born in Mexico. And to this day, I still, when I'm with Mexican friends, when I tell them about something going on in the house, they'll wink at me and say, "People, why don't you just give her a whack?" Well, but it's a wink. And so because it's a wink, it's a wry way of saying this is the way it used to be. Wasn't it nicer when women were our property? And so not exactly the way that a civilized society thinks of the topic,
no.
But one that's close enough to everybody that they can say it, and some people can say it and mean it. But for the most part, at this point, it's become an inside joke. Like, this is the way we were. Wouldn't it be nice to go back? Wouldn't it be nice for us to go back to slavery in the U.S. if people knew their places, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's cruel. It's cynical. It's also, humorous. And so it depends on who you are. But Mexico, my point was going to be that Mexico has become much faster than we accepting of gay marriages, of gay equal rights. It's been a dramatic change, and I've often wondered how do you pin that down. The one place that I haven't seen it as much, but I do see it, the armed forces, because I get pulled over. The airports are now under controls of Marina, of the Marines, or many of them are, and checkpoints are staffed. And I see about a fourth, I think, of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what our military is, but I would say a fourth of or so is Mexico. But to the greater point here, the media, the TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, just day-to-day business interests have made the U.S. and Mexico, I'm not going to say one. They haven't made us one country, but they've sure made us one region. And they follow what's going on in China tenaciously. A policy in China, a reverse, our decision to slap quotas on Chinese cars, for example, the Mexicans have not. Our decision to, you got to look at now, okay, if you're going to have Chinese goods in Mexico, does that mean you want them to come through the U.S.? Should they come inbound through the U.S.? Should you just dispense with that whole nightmare and bring them instead through Mazatlan or, Acapulco or one of the Mexican ports? So and with offshoring now, and a return of a huge amount of business to Mexico, does it make more sense now for me to manufacture in China where I'm going to pay X, or Mexico where I'm going to pay X plus maybe one-fourth of another X for my fully fringe labor? Look at all the, look at all the considerations that go into product design. Do I want to do something where product design can take a day if you send somebody from Minneapolis to, to Mexico City or to Juarez versus sending somebody to Shanghai and then on to, somewhere else in rural China? All these things are part of a daily equation between these two countries. And, of course, currency exchange as well. Look at what's the currency, the yuan. I can't remember the name of the currency of China. But these are all things that impact people on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and that macho culture that you pointed out at the beginning of this wrap, is that how obviously for the president, for a woman to be elected, that macho culture is really luckily going, fortunately going by the wayside.
With Claudia Sheinbaum, it's going to be even more so, because this is a this is a radical Jewish woman from a very, I hate that term progressive, because it just means too many things to too many different people.
Yeah.
But let's just say this woman was protesting in a vehement way 40 years ago. This is a part of her culture. And I know this culture because I know this Jewish protest culture in every part of the world. And it's very, very much I was brought up to believe that, and this is, we're talking about suburban Chicago, and you're brought up to believe in a Jewish home that even if you don't like the cause, you sure better raise your hand when you see somebody being downtrodden or somebody being run over, somebody being manipulated, not because you like them at all. My dad was active in the Nazi Party's right to march in Skokie. Talk about an epicenter of an issue.
Wow.
And so at what point do you allow somebody whose mere presence says to you, I'd like to you to be eviscerated or annihilated, and their right to express themselves? So
interesting.
I'll bring this back to Claudia Sheinbaum. Mm. She's going to be, once she breaks loose of President Lopez Obrador's sphere of influence, which is going to be 2 years, for the next 2 years, she'll just be a puppet. Mm. And she'll be whatever President Lopez Obrador says to do, he'll raise one arm and she'll do it, because that's just the way it works. He has there's 2 years where in her campaign where she needs to do kind of a payback. He gets to control what continues, and right now there's a whole bunch of huge issues. This is not a quiet time at all in Mexico. They have a major strike going on involving the judiciary and its rebellion against these new laws that Mexico is trying to push through. They're trying basically to fuck the judiciary is kind of the final area of checks and balances, and one of President Lopez Obrador's final acts is to try to undo a lot of the judiciary's ability to check and balance by making everybody elected. Until now, there have been more of a consent.
Keith, stay with us. Keith Rosenblum, stay with us from Sonora, Nogales, Sonora, on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. One more segment with Keith right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We send a lot of listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where it's in the upper 80s, 85 to 87 area. The mile high elevation is so appealing, especially this time of year. It's going to be cooler over there and certainly worth the approximately three hour trip east of Tucson to a very pretty area of the Land of Enchantment. Very nice this time of year after the and ongoing summer rainy season. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, and you'll have a good time over there, I am sure. All right, let's go back on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The live line going to Nogales, Sonora. And appropriately enough, our border guy is there, Keith Rosenblum. And Keith, I came across an item that I thought would be of interest to those of us in Arizona, especially because of our heritage here, the mining heritage. There is a move. Legislation is aimed at now at protecting the environment in Mexico and preventing water shortages that would ban open pit mining in Mexico.
I saw that. I'm not on top of it. It looked to me like a third of the mines or somewhere. I was reading about it because Sonora is one of the mining engines of the entire country. I think Sonora's in second or third place behind Chihuahua, and then something like maybe San Luis Potosí, I can't remember. There's 32 states in Mexico, and Sonora is a huge part of the livelihood. So you have Cananea, Nacozari, the two of the biggest copper mines in the world, and you have molybdenum over by Cumpas, south of Douglas and Agua Prieta.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, this is one area where you caught me off guard. It's rare for you to get me where I don't know something.
Ah, good.
And so rather than try to bluff my way through this one, I'm just going to tell you that I'm familiar with the legislation. I read about it. And that I would guess that any proposal today is going to succeed because the Mexicans are acting like the Chinese and the Russians. They're simply rubber stamping everything their president says. And this is one of the issues right now that people need to be on guard for. That is, there's the most recent election, we know that President Sheinbaum was pretty near 60% of the vote, and with 30% for Xochitl Galvez. And in the legislatures, you wound up with somewhere in the two-thirds area. And when I say somewhere, this is really significant because a couple of votes then can determine whether the Congress can change the Constitution. The same way that we have a constitutional amendment, so do the Mexicans. And I think that two-thirds, you know, there's a simple majority. You can't do anything with, you know, 50% plus one vote. Mm-hmm. You can't change the Constitution. But I believe that two-thirds is the threshold. And so if that's the case, that means that they will be able to change the Constitution every time the outgoing president, López Obrador, or the incoming, Claudia Sheinbaum, says, hey, let's change that Constitution. We don't really like you. And you have, sadly, and when I say sadly, I mean this for Mexico, but in some ways I've meant it for the U.S. as well. You have a Congress that is so beholden to its leadership that they vote as a monolith. There's very few people who would be like who am I thinking of? Like a, for Arizona purposes or for U.S. purposes, like a Rand Paul who votes, or even a dissent, or a John McCain, people who tell the party, sorry, you know, I don't walk. You don't tell me what to do. There's few enough of them to begin with. And in Mexico, there's definitely not going to be one-third of a Congress. The Congress that was elected was a Morena party Congress. And now there's a huge fight going on in Mexico as to what they call sobre-representación, which means over-representation has been applied using the algorithms that decide who gets all of the proportional representation deputies. This was a lot to swallow for a brief program, but you'll recall that Mexico elects 300 popularly elected deputies and 200 of the proportional representation based on the amount of votes that their parties got. So if those proportionals actually do end up going to Morena, the numbers that Morena thinks that it's entitled to, then guess what? You might have a banana republic next door with lots of smart people and lots of history, but it's still a banana republic when you tell the Congress how they're going to vote.
All righty, Keith, thank you so much for checking in with us from Nogales, Sonora. Appreciate it. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
All right, Keith Rosenblum. Who's with us at least once a month, sometimes like this month, we do a couple of times with him. All right, that's going to wrap it up, the Buckmaster Show. We've got tomorrow's Friday Focus interview. I'll be joined here by a co-media host. We try to do that every Friday. Tomorrow it'll be Caitlin Schmidt from Tucson Agenda, and we'll talk with the vice mayor of the city of Tucson, Kevin Dahl. On behalf of Matt Neely, who does such a great job on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.